Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Our God is awesome. Our God is mighty. Our God is worthy to be praised forever and ever. Hallelujah. I'd like to welcome everyone right now to our Sunday morning service. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. Thank you so much for tuning in. I know some of you are waiting, are always waiting for it to come on. It's not always at a set time. This is not a pre-recorded meeting. It's not a pre-recorded service. So it's whenever we get done praising God and ministering to the people. It's whenever the Lord gives us the okay. So thank you so much for being patient and waiting for us to come on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What a week it has been. For all of us, what a week. And I can't wait to what next week is going to bring, in all actuality. The Lord is doing great and mighty things here at BCFC, and we rejoice the name of the Lord because of it. Praise be to His holy name. I don't have a long scripture list this morning. I don't think this is going to be an hour and 20-minute sermon. I have some key things to say, and it's somewhat of a reflection of what this week's been, maybe even for the last month. I've started talking about it already as I came up here before we came on to the live stream. Just have some key pointers, some key things to point out. But before we get into the Word of the Lord, as we always do, let's pray to the Lord, shall we? Let's pray. Lord, as we always say, we love you. Lord, we love you so much. Lord, we thank you for your presence, Lord, here in this place. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord, in this establishment. I thank you, Lord, for all of those who are here this morning, your holy people, Lord, the people who love you. When we come together, Lord, it's a joyful atmosphere and we feel your presence. Thank you, Lord, for their lives. I thank you, Lord, for all of those right now watching this online who, Lord, are participating, Lord, from wherever they might be, whether it's here in the United States or outside of the United States. Bless them, Lord, equally. Touch their hearts, Lord. Touch their minds. Touch their bodies. Heal them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for them also. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will minister to everyone here this morning and also, Lord, everyone that's watching this right now. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will do the convicting and not me, Lord. May they watch you. May they see you. May they hear you, Father. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Thank you, Lord. Be glorified this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk this morning about a personal experience with God. And why do I want to talk about a personal experience with God? Because I have a sense that if the Lord were to show up and do something extravagant, I tend to believe that some of you, not all of us, some of you may be here and some of you that's watching right now might not know what to do. Might be, I guess I could say, maybe caught off guard. It could be a brand new experience. And experiencing something from God, it could be anything. It could be in your body, in your emotion, in your finances, in your spiritual life, in your spiritual health, in your family life, in your work life. It doesn't matter. The Lord is able to do something, turn around, just wow you. And I want to use an example right now, an illustration that I've used before in the past. It's probably been over a year that I've used this illustration in one of my previous sermon, but I think it's very much applicable right now You know what I'm going to talk about this morning. When we don't know how to use something and utilize something, sometimes we don't see its full potential. Let me use a quick example. I can sell you a 540 horsepower, 2,900 pound Porsche 911 Turbo S, which is one of the fastest vehicles that Porsche sells, a 911 Turbo. And, you know, you might have came across an inheritance, and you've always had a dream to drive one of these cars, so you go and you buy it. But then, you only drive it up and down Reisterstown Road. Or up and down Liberty Road. And you never put it on I-83, you never put it on I-695 or 795 or even I-70. I've seen people doing 100 cruising their I-70, right? Easy, comfortably. Not to say that it's legal, right? But nonetheless, if all you're doing is back road driving and stop and go at the light, will you ever know what the potential of such a vehicle is? You won't. But you just bought it. You have it. It's right there. You can touch it. You can smell the rubber. You can smell the clutch. You can, you know, it's right there. You're experiencing something. You're caught in a moment, but are you really experiencing it? Is my question. A personal experience with God. I shared this story before of a Welsh woman who lived in a very remote area of Wales. She went a great deal to put electricity in her home because where she was, not everybody had electricity. They noticed she didn't use very much electricity, the electrical company. So they sent out someone to read the meter because they thought the meter was broken. The man came and knocked at the door and mentioned to her that they've noticed that she hadn't used a whole lot of electricity. And then the woman replied with this, "Oh yes, we turn it on every night to see how we are to light our lamps and then we switch it off again." So she only turns on the electricity to light her candle so she could see what she's doing, illuminates the whole house, and then turns it off again. Now, this woman goes through a great deal of, you know, she goes through hoops, and she probably spent a whole lot of money to have electricity, to have her house wired, to have a transformer outside of her house, to get poles drilled in. I mean, the works, but then she doesn't use it for her full potential. Now, I like to say that there are a lot of Christians that might potentially live this way and are missing out on the power of God. I just gave the testimony this morning how we are moving forward with the church sign, with the LED sign. That and everything from, when was that Thursday that we did the whole fasting? Was that, it was over a month ago, right? For sure over a month ago. Maybe a month and a half or so, right? Plus or minus. From a month and a half up until now, we have made the most amount of progress that we had been a year prior. Just within the month and a half. All by the power of God. There are many biblical examples in the Bible of men who came and experienced the power of God. Many. I'm just going to name a few. Isaiah. We've been reading out of the book of Isaiah a lot lately, within the last couple of weeks. Elijah. Can't forget his compadre. Elisha, right, who assumed the mantle, powerful man of God, who experienced this power and lived it and proved it. There's so many stories in the Bible that really catches my attention. When Elijah was about to kill all those prophets of Baal, right? And they were all lined up. But just before that, fire came down from heaven and consumed, right, the sacrifice. And the sacrifice was soaked in water. And then they told him to build a trench around it. And that water got all dried up just like that. In one swoop, power. Power. Instant power. This is real life stuff. This is a real thing. Jeremiah. King David. Oh, King David. How about Job? Did Job experience the power of God? Oh, man. Let's open up our Bibles to the book of Job. Let's read a text this morning in Job 42. Let's read a little bit about Job. Give you some moment right now to turn the pages. I still enjoy the sound of the Bible opening up and pages going. I'm still cherishing these moments. While you turn to Job 42, I recall of one instant where it was right after I rededicated my life to the Lord. I moved back home, and I had found this large Bible with a red cover, King James Version. And it was an older Bible, because you can tell the pages were brownish, right? Almost like sunburn, you know. Had some miles on it. There's a whole bunch of things written on it. And when I opened it, I don't remember what book it was, but it was the very beginning of a book. So in this particular Bible, there's like either a one, a two, sometimes even a three-page report, like a documentary, explaining the whole book. So who wrote it, when it was written, the purpose of it, several like little commentaries before. And I just started reading those commentaries, and I was like, wow, this is fascinating. This is great. And then I started reading the Bible every night, but I've always been looking for those commentaries because for some reason I was just drawn to it. And this was going on for about a month or so, and I was like, man, I can't let my father discover this Bible here because this is probably his favorite Bible. And by the miles that's on it, I need to keep it right here, like put it on my dresser, and then maybe put a blanket over top of it or something. But anyways, one morning, my father came to me and he said, the Lord has a message for you. I said, okay. So, he said, he's very pleased with you. I said, oh, why? He said, because you're reading his word. I said, oh. And my father didn't know that I was, you know, reading my Bible every night. But it all started out by these little commentaries in the beginning, and it just somewhat happened to be a habit. So when I hear your pages turning and flapping, I think about that. And it brings like little joys in my heart, you know, that I still hear pages turning. So praise God. Are we there? Yes? Let's start on verse 1, Job 2, verses 1, and then we're going to stop right at 6. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes seize you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Some pretty deep words from Job, yes? Job right now, let's just say he's spilling his heart out to the Lord. He's being honest. He's being himself. What you see here is a first-hand experience with God through a man named Job. And just like Job, we also must have such an experience with God. And when this happens, several things occur in our lives when we experience God. Now, I do have to say right away that it takes a will, it takes a want, it takes a dedication for this to happen. Sometimes the Lord has a purpose in someone's life, a deep, meaningful purpose in someone's life. And he'll show up to them, you know, when they're 7 years old or 8 years old or something like that. On certain occasions, the Lord shows up to someone after they're adults. I've heard of circumstances like that. When they were still unbelievers. But we are all believers. When I look around, I tend to think that we all love the Lord. We've all given our life to Jesus. So therefore, we can boldly, with confidence, come to the throne of God, right? To the throne of grace and plead with Him and speak with Him and converse with Him, right? So, it takes a want, it takes a will. And when we experience God firsthand, several things happen, and I want to talk about these things. The first one, which I talk about with the Lord every single day, said, Lord, I want to understand your will. I want to understand your purpose. I hear about men like Moses. Moses understood God. Moses and God were so in tune, they were so as one, that it was almost like two people who knew what they were thinking at any given time, because you spend so much time together. Moses was that guy. Abraham was that guy. Noah was that guy. Enoch was that guy. All these men had a personal relationship with God, every single one of them. And that caused them to have a deep understanding of who the Lord is. Now, I don't want you to have me mistaken. I don't want to be misconstrued right now. It is impossible for us to know everything that God is. Impossible. It could very well be that when we are in heaven and we have our new bodies, when we go to be with the Lord forever, we might know potentially every single thing about Him. I don't know. I don't know. And I'm not trying to imply that these men that I just mentioned knew everything there is to know about God. That's not what I mean. I would like for you to know and understand that they understood God. There's a difference. The Bible says that the just shall live how? By faith. There's still that element of faith that must be applied in your walk with God. That element of faith never goes away. Without it, you cannot please the Lord. Without faith, there must be that faith. And faith in God can only come to experience, can only make us experience the truth in the statement that Job says that I know you can do all things, right? This is where it comes to. It signifies Job's confidence in the ability of God. Do we know that God can do all things? I venture to say 50% of you guys either shook your head or said yes. Yes?
Yes.
All right. So we know that God can do all things. Do we believe that God can do all things?
Yes.
Now here's the real question. Do we act like God can do all things? I heard a yes and I heard a no. Thank you for your honesty. I don't think that at times, we act like he can do all things. It's just like my illustration, my analogy of having a supercar in your driveway. You know that that thing could do 214 miles an hour. You know that it does 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds. Why? Because you read about it somewhere. You studied it. But have you experienced it? You believe in it. You might have seen somebody else, you know, break a record here or, you know, go drifting there or just go shoom. But do we experience the power of God? That is the question now. First-hand experience. I venture to say that most Christians today perceive God like one person who once made this comment. This is what they said. God is like our pastor. I don't see him throughout the week and I don't understand him on Sundays. Is this how we perceive our God? Do you perceive your God like Pastor Teddy? You don't see him all week and you don't understand him on Sundays. I hope you understand me on Sundays. When I first started sharing, I noticed that I was speaking too fast. I was just like blowing by. And I was like, you need to slow down, brother. So I slowed down. Sometimes I make some analogies that maybe might go over your head. Sometimes I tell jokes that aren't all that funny. Thank you, sister. I heard a yes over there. Thank you for your honesty. Wow, I got an honest crowd this morning. Praise God. But, you know, I want to open your eyes right now to see how real this is. We're about to experience it right now. I was telling the folks yesterday who came for the evangelism in the morning, excuse me, that I generally always come from this side of the property, from the back side of the property, because it's easier for me, you know, from the way that I come. But after this sign goes up, I'm going to start coming this way. I'm going to take the long way, just so I can look at that sign and praise the Lord every time I come to his house, right? This is a real thing. This is happening. You watch. You just watch. But we can't live life and be happy Christians, and be a light to this world, and be a witness, and be powerful, and be used by God. Experience supernatural blessings. Experience revival. If we only see him once a week, if we only experience him just once a week, and Sunday comes, you just don't understand him, right? This cannot be. I don't want to go too deep into this because I feel myself being drawn to this topic right now. And I don't want to go too deep on it. I'll leave that for another sermon. I'm not trying to imply that you only experience God here in church. But ultimately, when you're away from the church house, do you have a personal relationship with him? Do you guys converse? Do you speak to him? Does he speak to you? When you hear his voice, do you recognize it? Do you know this is God? This is not my feelings. This is not my emotions. This is not my thoughts. This is from the Lord. John says, My sheep knows my voice. Right? And they follow me. He closes the verse by saying, and they follow me. Right? Do you know God's voice? Let me show you this illustration right now involving our Lord Jesus in Matthew 29. And we're going to cover 10 verses. Or, I'm sorry, not Matthew 29, Matthew 19. That's what I meant to say. Matthew 19. This is the story of the rich young man. Matthew 19, verses 26. And then we're going to stop right around verses 26. All right. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked, and this is the kicker here. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. With God, every single thing is possible. I don't want to get on the deep end right now with, you know, the story of the rich young man. I'll leave that for another time. But I want to focus your attention right now in the key verse, which is verses 26, that says, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Right now, I want to ask, is that your experience with God? Just think about it. Is this your experience with the Lord? Mind you, an experience. I'm about to get very personal right now. Think about it. It is possible. It's not impossible at all. At all. It's not science. You know, it's not chemistry. All things are possible with the Lord. And when we experience our Lord firsthand, as Job did, you begin to understand God as an all-loving and an all-powerful being, an all-powerful God. You start to understand, you start to comprehend this aspect of God. It starts with this experience. Now, along with understanding God, the next thing that happens is we understand life. May I have verses 3, please? You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. If there is one thing certain today, It is that too many people, and I'm also going to include Christians too, too many Christians who do not understand the meaning of life. Do not understand the meaning of their purpose in life. We start thinking about these things when we are teenagers. We start thinking about these things when we're maybe in middle school, or maybe even as early as elementary school, but middle school and then high school, the pressure is on. You know, where are you going to go to school? What's going to be your profession? What are you going to do? We start thinking about these things, and a lot of people even reach adulthood not knowing what their purpose is, not knowing what is it that they're meant to do. I just spoke about this, I think it was Sunday night, how I feel very, 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 very fortunate. To an unbeliever, they probably would say they would feel very lucky. I feel very blessed to know the one true God. You know, we have all these religions around. You have all these pockets, all these groups, all these cliques, all these people who believe in their own thing, who want to do their own thing, and they dedicate an entire lifetime towards this. And they truly and honestly, they honestly feel like they're doing the right thing. They dedicate their time, their efforts, their money, you name it, their blood, sweat, and tears towards this sect, towards this religion, towards this cult, you name it, towards this secret society. And here I am. I know the true and the one and only true God. Me and you, this God who reveals things to his people, secret things, when we search him, this God that lives and guides us and restores us and heals us and blesses us. This is the same God that can also steer you in the right direction, in which way to go in life, in what to do, in everything else. Your purpose and your meaning. Let me show you now some words from Proverbs chapter 16, verses 3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established, and your ways will be established, and your walk will be established. I mean, this thought here mentioned goes beyond just the mind. It's a complete guidance. It's total takeover when we just commit ourselves to the Lord. Most people fit in the character of Charlie Brown when it comes to understanding life. Do we know Charlie Brown? Everyone in here knows Charlie Brown, right? All right. In one Peanuts comic strip, there was a conversation between Lucy. Remember Lucy? And Charlie Brown. Lucy said that life is like a deck chair. Someplace they can see where they are going. Someplace it is so they can see where they have been. And someplace it is so they can see where they are in the present. And then Charlie Brown replies by saying this, I can't even get mine unfolded. I can't even unfold my chair, disregardless of what it can do for you. There was a man in Burbank, California. He was seeking to repair an outdoor light, which eventually what he did is brought it indoors. And he was working on it when his wife called out to him and said, "Are you sure you know what you are doing?" An instant after she said that, he touched a couple of things together, and the shock sent him skidding across the floor, leaving an imprint engraved on the carpet, on the shag carpet. The real-life homeowner who goofed and got floored by 220 volts is Tim Allen from Home Improvement. We know Tim Allen, right? I hear he's a Christian man. I think he is. Tim Allen. Now, I just gave you now two illustrations. You got Charlie Brown, who couldn't get it right. And then you got Tim the Tool Man, who thought he had it right. Right now, I want to respectfully ask you, do you fit in one of these two categories this morning? Do you feel as though you can't get it right in your experience and walk with God? Or potentially you think you have it right, but it's just not working out. This is what I want to ask of all of us this morning. Are you like Tim? Or are you like Mr. Charlie Brown? But when we experience God firsthand, and I mean experience Him spiritually, in spiritual growth, we come to understand life itself. We come to understand this. And when we have a firsthand experience, not only do we understand God and His purpose, and His purpose in your life, and your life's meaning, you also come to understand yourself. May I please have now verses 6 of Job 42, please. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. What did he do? That's right. He repented. Right there. This is understanding what we need to do, what we must do. There's a story that goes of little Susie. Little Susie finished her prayer and said this. This is what she said. Dear God, before I finish, I want you to take care of mommy, take care of daddy, take care of my sister and my brother. And please, God, take care of yourself, because if you don't do well, we'll all sunk. Amen. God, please take care of yourself. Because if you're not doing well, we're not going to be doing well. Right? This is the prayer of little Susie. Little Susie understood a very important lesson about herself. If you look very closely into this analogy here that I just brought, she was totally dependent upon God. Totally dependent. And she understood that God needed to take care of himself, because if God wasn't doing good, we're not going to do good. So Lord, we depend on you. Now, of course, we know that God is powerful. He's sovereign, above and beyond what we can comprehend. But it's that mentality. It's that attitude. Do you understand? It's knowing that, Lord, I need you, and without you, I'm going to sink, or as she said, sunk. This is what it is. This is childlike faith, total dependence on God. And this is a very, very important lesson that every single one of us here and everyone that's watching right now need to know. We must be dependent on God. I've been quoting this verse a lot, John 15, 5. It says this, that the Lord is the vine. John 15, 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without the Lord, none of us can do anything. You can do nothing without God. When we bear fruit, our fruit bearing as Christians is 100% dependent upon one thing. That one thing is the connection that you have with God. That special connection that we have with the Lord. Just like David. Just like Elijah. Just like Elisha. I mean, you name it. You go down the list. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Paul, Peter. All the disciples. Anybody. Men and women. Anybody. They had a special connection with the Lord. Daniel. Oh, man. I've been reading a lot about Daniel lately. Praise God. I want to leave you with this verse right now. Philippians 4:13. May I have that, please? I can do all things through the Lord, through Christ, who strengthens me. All things are possible. To man, several things are impossible. All things are possible through Christ, who strengthens you and I. We cannot afford to forget this important truth. We can't. All things are possible. You know, in the story that we read about Job, Job had to be humbled. He had to be humbled. And in his humility, he experienced God like never before. And when he did, he came to understand more about God. He came to understand more about life. He came to understand more about himself. And this morning, I wish for you to pray to God to reveal himself to you just in the same way that he revealed himself to Job. We have been seeking, we have been calling, we have been praying for revival, and we will receive revival. But are we ready to receive? Do you want it? Do you truly want it? Is there something that you must repent from? Is there something that you must make right? Have you made way to the Lord? As the Lord once mentioned to me in the old apartment that I was living in before I was married, he said, clean your house. Because I was seeking the Lord. I was bringing all these verses to him. I said, Lord, this, Lord, that. And Lord, and this was one of the most audible, loudest I've ever heard the Lord's voice. And he just said these three words, clean your house. Now, with my immaturity at the time, you know what I did? I cleaned my apartment. I said, really, Lord? You're about to show up right here? Well, let's make it for later on tonight. Man, I was literally sore. I felt like I just finished running a track meet. Several track meets, as a matter of fact. My back was sore, my forearm was sore, my legs were sore, my quads, everything was sore. Because I was scrubbing the walls, the only thing I didn't do was shampoo the carpets. I mean, all the dishes were nice and done. While I was doing that, the laundry was being done. I cleaned the bathroom. I mean, top to bottom. It took me about 5 hours to clean my little two-bedroom apartment. Right? But it was clean. Now, you know how guys live, right? But nonetheless, I'm not the one to live dirty or messy or anything like that. But nonetheless, I was comfortable. That apartment would look better than when I first moved in. Believe me. And then I didn't receive what I thought I was going to receive. So I went back to the Lord. But nonetheless, the point that I'm trying to make is the Lord right now is saying, clean your house. Make yourself ready. All things are possible through God when we come to Him, when we depend on Him. Amen. Don't be discouraged this morning. Don't be discouraged by your circumstances. Trust in God. You know, a word of the Lord came to me this week, and I'm going to share with you right now. The Lord believes in you. more than you believe yourself. How many times we let our minds and our emotions and our feelings get in the way of things that the Lord wants to do, or things the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you, but you know the terminology. We are our worst enemy. You know the scriptures. You know the one and true God. Some of these scriptures you have memorized. God believes in you. Don't have faith in your faith. Don't have faith in faith. Have faith in God. Trust God. Don't have faith and put all your stocks on the amount of faith that you have. All right? On the amount of time that you think that you need to do this and all of that to raise you up in a certain level, so that after you are at this particular level, that's when you're finally going to reach God. Just put all that to the side. Be like little Susie. Just trust Him. God has faith in you. God believes in you. God is your biggest cheerleader. God, you might not know this, but He is your biggest cheerleader. But a lot of times we put ourselves down. A lot of times we doubt. We feel discouraged. We let all these things get in our way. And here's the Lord's like, okay, you're finished. Okay, I'll send somebody to come and comfort you. But then you can't go back to that. All right? Because I'm still waiting here. I want to show you great things. You're going to be a powerful woman of God. You're going to be a powerful man of God. Yeah, I have this planned in your life and that planned in your life. I want to reveal myself to you. Right? I want you to experience me. I don't want to be showing you angels left and right and up and down, etc., etc. I want you to see me. See me first. Then the angels will come. I'll show you my entourage later. God wants to get to the meat and potatoes. All right? And here we are still stuck on the appetizer. All right? Have faith in God. All things are possible. All things are possible to those who trust Him. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, we love You. Lord, we praise You. Thank You, Lord, for Your word this morning. Thank You, Lord, for Your Holy Spirit that speaks to us, Lord, every single day. Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that guides us, that leads us. Thank You, Lord, so very much. Lord, we want to trust Your guidance. Lord, we want to know and recognize and hear Your voice all the time, Lord. Not just when we are in church. Not just when we're doing our fellowship, our devotional. Lord, when we are at work, when we're walking down the street, when we are in the supermarket, when we're in the shower. Lord, when we are going about our day-to-day business, may this be, Lord, personal. May this be, Lord, full-time, not just part-time. We want to experience Your presence, Your fire, Your power, Lord, like Job did. Thank You, Lord, so much that You want. And Lord, here we are, making ourselves ready, Lord, to receive what the Spirit has for us. As we always say, Lord, we love You so much. And Lord, may it also translate in our actions, in our deeds, Lord, not just our words. We love You, Lord, and we will always love You. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.